fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African rugby. What will it take to grow the sport all across the continent? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the head coach of Nigeria's national men's team, Bronson Weir.
For a sustainable product to be successful, you need funding. So, and if you also look at some of the players around the globe that is making a living out of the game, you can see that they actually, like I said, they can make a living from it. They can either study or purchase a property and so forth. So people will only play the game if they could benefit. There will be some sort of benefit from it besides the enjoyment part of it. So that is all a major case for actually building the game. Like I told you also before that there's so many potential players out there across the globe now, and if we can hone those skills with coaches and administrators and keep the players in Nigeria, the game will grow so fast and Nigeria will be a force to be reckoned with in the future. So that's my take on it. If the funding is there, I'm sure the game will grow to a magnificent sustainable product.
Aside South Africa, what can be done to make rugby popular in other parts of Africa?
To grow the game as potential, like to the potential like in South Africa, it's going to be very difficult, to be honest with you. Soccer and other sporting codes which are cheaper, if I can call it that, will always be the frontlining sport in Africa. As you know, a lot of the African countries are underdeveloped and so forth, so to teach a lot of technical skills into a contact sport will take longer and the product will grow slower. So, but for Nigeria to be a force, we first need to get the game at a good state and to make it a sustainable product locally, like I mentioned to you. So to get to the stage as a brand of South Africa will take a few years. So like I mentioned, Africa rugby need to do much more for the game to grow. You can't let a team go play Olympic qualifications with no preparation before that. There needs to be other smaller tournaments, like if it's West Africa teams playing against one another, or a local series only for African teams to play first before you get to Olympic qualifications will be the way to go, in my opinion. You can't just have Olympic qualifications without other tournaments and expect the team to do well. That will be very difficult. So playing for your country is an honor, but playing for your country where you don't have the proper resources, it's another case. So once again, funding will be an important, because if you have funding, you can play in other tournaments across the globe, and you just don't need Africa rugby for that, and you can possibly play Europe and so forth. And it won't be that expensive to think about it, because there's so many Nigerians playing across the globe. You can actually choose teams from the UK and make up a team there with a couple of local players. You have Nigerian players here in South Africa with a couple of local players. So you don't have to transfer everybody out of Nigeria all the time, if you know what I mean. But you would like to also basically possibly have a camp here and there.
Can you tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners if rugby has potentials to grow in Africa?
I think rugby is already growing. I mentioned to you the last time there's about 23 to 24 countries playing the game. And in the past, it only used to be like 8 or less than 10. But the game is growing. There's better programs being rolled out now. It's called Get Into Rugby and so forth, and Play and Stay and Tag Rugby. So the more they roll out those sort of programs into schools in Africa, we saw what it done for Madagascar, a team like that where the game has grown such a lot. Kenya. We need to roll it out more in other countries, non-playing rugby countries. But once again, the funding issue will always be there. And to educate our coaches, to do things for the passion, and not only for the money, but also for the possibility to learn more and so forth. But, you know, coaches also want to be there. There needs to be accolades for coaches as well, you know, higher aspirations and so forth. Coaching courses are important. And then a sustainable product and playing regularly. So, yes, the game can definitely grow. So that has been happening in Africa, but it's growing at a very slow rate. And we've seen most African players that look like a quality player tend to then move to, like in France, you see a lot of Congolese or guys from Ivory Coast and so forth playing for France. And the same goes for your English colonized teams. They play for either for South Africa or they play for England.
That's Bronson Weir, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cape Town, South Africa.
Sporting greetings. This is Branson. We are the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Joining us now with a package of African sports news is Samson Omale.
Lawyers for former World Athletics chief Senegal's Lamine Diack, who is on trial for corruption on Thursday, protested their client's innocence and said the 87-year-old will die in jail if sentenced to a prison term. French financial prosecutors on Wednesday sought a 4-year jail sentence for the Senegalese, saying he and his son, Papa Massata Diack, were at the heart of a scheme that solicited bribes worth millions of euros from Russian athletes to cover up failed doping tests and allow them to continue competing. Prosecutors had sought a 5-year sentence for Papa Massata Diack. Lamine Diack's lawyers on Thursday said there were no tangible elements proving Lamine Diack's participation in the scheme and put the blame on his absent son. In basketball news, the Egypt Basketball Federation has announced that action will return on August 15th after the Ministry of Youth and Sports gave them the green light to proceed. The clubs will start with indoor training from July the 1st in small groups of twos and fours before going into indoor training with a minimum number of players allowed. The players will be tested for coronavirus before they enter the training camps. This ends a 3-month break to all basketball action in Egypt because of the coronavirus pandemic. Elsewhere in East Africa, this year's Kenya Volleyball Federation National League season has been nullified. The season, which had served off in February, was to run until July as opposed to November as part of the concerted efforts by the Federation to align its competitions with the International Volleyball Federation calendar. According to the International Volleyball Federation calendar, Federation should start their leagues in October and end in April. KVF had suspended the league indefinitely in March following the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. And from South Africa comes some cheering news for cricket fans as the biggest names in South African cricket will return to the field for an exhibition match in Centurion on June the 27th. Three teams will play in one 36-over match in a never-before-seen format and will be South Africa's first televised live sports event since the country went into lockdown because of COVID-19. Each team will face a total of 12 overs split into two halves of 6 overs. Each half will be against a different team. Most of South Africa's top players will be in action. The team will be captained by AB de Villiers, Quinton de Kock and Kogiso Rabada. The match will be played without spectators. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello, listeners. This is Masembe Isaac, silver medalist from All Africa Games 2019. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Football's international governing body, FIFA, will announce the host of the 2023 Women's World Cup next week. VOA's Jim Stevenson says a joint bid by Australia and New Zealand impressed FIFA inspectors. Jim joins us now with that story and more from his spicy and sporty game room.
Australia and New Zealand feel they are in the best position to host the 2023 Women's Soccer World Cup after receiving the highest FIFA rating ahead of the vote on June 25th. Johanna Wood is the president of New Zealand Football.
We're pretty excited that we've come out on top with the evaluation report. I think that's given us a bit of confidence. But having said that, we realise that nothing's certain until those votes are counted.
Australia and New Zealand launched a joint bid to co-host the tournament alongside Colombia and Japan. Football Federation Australia Chairman Chris Niku thinks their bid is exceptionally strong.
And we put forward a bid that we think aligns very strongly with the ambitions of FIFA and is well calculated to promote women's sport, not only around this event, but also women's issues generally in the Asia Pacific area.
Wood says the joint bid overcomes many of the concerns with having two different countries co-host.
One of the questions raised or comments made in the evaluation report was it is a challenge across co-hosting, you know, of countries. But I think what we have demonstrated through the Rugby World Cup, the Cricket World Cup, that we have done these events before. So we're well placed to manage it across confederations as well as across different countries.
Wood says while coronavirus may still be a factor in holding the 2023 Women's Soccer World Cup, she believes the event will still be successful.
If COVID is still around in 2023, which is likely to be, hopefully there'll be a vaccine. So that's one thing. But the other thing is, if we want to have sport back up and running, then it may be that people, when we open up our borders, just like the Rugby League has done with going to Australia, there's a two-week quarantine period, so it'll add some cost.
With their established infrastructure, soccer facilities, and women's teams, Australia and New Zealand are considered the most commercially favorable ahead of the FIFA Council vote June 25th. There is one Major League Baseball game that fans really hope to see this year.
The Field of Dreams, I think, just so poetically represents and embodies everything wholesome about the game of baseball and everything wholesome about life.
Nearly a year ago, Major League Baseball had announced it was building a field a few hundred meters down a corn-lined path from the famous Field of Dreams in eastern Iowa. The 1989 sports fantasy film starring Kevin Costner featured many ghostly baseball legends emerging from a cornfield to play again. And the location of the film evokes strong emotions, according to Roman Weinberg of Go the Distance Baseball.
It brings out such a raw side of us, something that usually is untapped for years, if ever untapped. I've seen more grown men cry here than I have anywhere else.
Field of Dreams inspired millions of movie watchers, which Weinberg says eventually inspired Major League Baseball to schedule the Chicago White Sox and New York Yankees to play in Dyersville, Iowa on August 13th.
The fact that it is so important to people in their lives for so many different reasons, that's why Major League Baseball wanted to hold the game here.
The owners of the Field of Dreams and residents of the farming community of Dyersville desperately hope the game will be played. Dyersville Mayor Jim Haven says after months of isolation and loss caused by the virus, not only their area, but the entire country could use a boost.
I think they'd like to go on with it just to say, hey, we went through this kind of rough patch here and baseball is back.
The anticipated matchup was expected to be a $9 million economic windfall for Dyersville and nearby Dubuque, with plans for 4 days of concerts, exhibits, and other events. The Twilight Game is supposed to be played before 8,000 people, and under lights erected solely for the event. Haven says just to have the game near the Field of Dreams would be enough.
You know, it's kind of like we're right in the middle of Americana and in the middle of an Iowa cornfield. And what better place to play baseball?
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports
right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
golfer Daniel Berger emerged the winner of the Charles Schwab Challenge, the first PGA Tour event to be played since coronavirus interrupted sports calendars everywhere 3 months ago. Berger topped the final leaderboard at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. Justin Rose of England won the tournament 2 years ago.
Everyone's in the same boat. You know, obviously, I think everyone's been trying to do their best to prepare, and we're certainly all coming in rested, that's for sure. But, you know, no one quite knows where their tournament game is, and it's hard to practice without some pressure. I knocked one in off from just off the green on my very first hole of the day and sort of looked at my caddy and went, welcome back.
American Harold Varner III was happy to be back.
I woke up and I was like, am I really about to play golf? But once I started, you know, I worked out with my trainer this morning, I was like, oh, it's game on. Like, you know, just back in the saddle. You know, I've been playing a lot of golf, like, at home, you know, just with, like, a bunch of friends. But now, playing against the best in the world, that excites me like no other, because you just, that's what you want.
Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland didn't know what to expect, with a golf course missing thousands of vocal spectators.
It was good. It felt good to be back. You know, I thought it was going to feel more different than it was. It, you know, like, it's a little strange, you know, not having anyone around, but at the same time, you know, we are so concentrated in what we're doing and trying to shoot good scores and play good golf. And so once we, you know, me personally, once I got into it, I didn't feel like it was much different at all.
American Phil Mickelson was pleased with how the tournament was held.
It's certainly awkward not having everybody out here, but I'm certainly proud of the steps the PGA Tour has taken to have everybody be safe, feel safe in this environment, and to hopefully entertain and have some people watching on TV, even though they're not here.
The absence of fans was a little disorienting for South Korean Sung Kang during Thursday's first round. He did not immediately celebrate on the par 3 13th hole because without fans cheering, he had no idea he had made a hole in one. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on VOAnews.com.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
My Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten, joins us now with some English Premier League football news. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The Premier League continues its much-anticipated return on Friday when Tottenham will host Manchester United in the second match of the day. Last season, Tottenham made an impressive run to a spot in the Champions League final. However, the Hotspurs are restarting this season without a victory in their last six games in all competitions. Manager Jose Mourinho told reporters ahead of Friday's match his side is ready to face his old club and eager to return to the pitch.
I think he's a bit special because it's quite a similar feeling to the first match of the season. Match day one is always special, and I think probably all of us coaches, players, we have this little different feeling of match day one. And in the end, this is not match day one, but we can feel it that way because it was a long, long time of, let's say, holiday, but this special moment for the world, and difficult for everybody, even the returning to training, going through so many different phases. But yes, I'm happy to play, even knowing will be behind closed doors. We know that millions will be watching it, and we want to give a good game, we want to give a good football match.
Sidelined key players seem to cast a dark cloud over the Hotspurs since the start of the year. Star striker Harry Kane has not played a match since he ruptured a hamstring tendon on New Year's Day. But Mourinho has confirmed Kane will return to the pitch for Friday's match. And he says after a six-month absence, Kane is ready.
It's working extremely well. I can tell you, no problem. He's going to start the game. Does Harry have 90 minutes, 80, 70, 60? I don't know. I think only the game will tell us that. Is he in the top of his form? We don't know. Is not a little training session with our friends from Norwich that is going to tell us the answer. But for him, he's, I don't know, but around 6 months without playing a football match. But he worked extremely well. He's an amazing professional, and he's going to start tomorrow. Yeah.
Likewise, winger Son Heung-min and midfielder Moussa Sissoko, who were both sidelined with injuries, will return for their upcoming match. One player who will not be featured on Friday is Dele Alli, who has been handed a one-game suspension on charges of misconduct. Tottenham are currently eighth in the Premier League in a bid to revive their hopes of qualifying for the Champions League. The Hotspurs sit 4 points behind fifth-placed United, who were in impressive form before the season came to a halt in March. United resumed their season in a pursuit of a top-four finish. And ahead of his match against Tottenham, manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer told MUTV his players are prepared to face what he considers one of the best teams in the league.
Champions League finalists less than a year ago, so we know that we're up for a hard game. We've prepared as well as we can. We've trained well, the boys trained well over the lockdown. We've had a couple of in-house 11v11s, and we had one 11v11 against West Brom, which hopefully will stand us in good stead. These are, of course, we're young. They look fit and ready. So we'll see tomorrow night.
Solskjaer also applauded star forward Marcus Rashford, who just this week successfully prompted the British government to extend free school meal vouchers for needy children in the UK. Solskjaer says Rashford's commitment to helping those in need is more important than anything he's done on the pitch.
What Marcus has done has been incredible with his family, with his own personality, of course. Marcus has always been a great human being. And coming up through the academy, I think the club recognised that early on and gave him chances. Of course, we saw the talent, but you need to be a really good human being as well to come all the way through. And he's changed the lives of so many kids this summer, which is more important than any game of football that he'll probably play. So hopefully he can keep both sides going as well as he's doing now.
Rashford suffered a back injury that has kept him off the field since January, but he used the three-month lockdown to recover and is set to start on Friday. The game between Man United and Tottenham follows an earlier matchup between 14th place Southampton at Norwich City, who are currently 20th in the league. And that is all from me for today and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Dirk Nowitzki, who gets my vote as the greatest European basketball player of all time. Big Dirk was born June 19th, 1978 in Würzburg, Germany. He's the only player ever to suit up for a single NBA franchise for 21 seasons. during those 21 seasons with the Dallas Mavericks. Nowitzki was voted a NBA All-Star 14 times. In 2007, Dirk became the first European player to win the NBA Most Valuable Player Award. 4 years later, he helped lead the Mavericks to their first and only NBA championship. Happy 42nd birthday, Dirk Nowitzki. And that wraps up the June 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance is
music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.